Hello and welcome to episode 107 of the Liverpool Comedy Improvcast with me, Ian Luke Jones. This is where we get to know the people who make up the LCI community and a place where we delve into all sorts of improv topics. And today, I'm really excited to introduce to you a new little segment for the show, and it is Improv Room 101, and helping me with this pilot episode is Michael Ananins. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. We're even available on Amazon Podcasts, which means that you can ask Alexa to play the show. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe to the show to give us a boost and help get our name out there. And now it's time to go off script and find out, what exactly am I going to put into Improv Room 101? Happy to welcome Michael Ananins onto the show for this little experiment. So hello, Michael.
Hi, how are you, Ian?
Yes, I'm good, thanks. I'm excited to give this new concept a go. I've had it in the back of my mind for a while, and I'm excited to see if it works as well as I hope it will.
Okay.
So I'll just explain briefly. So I asked Michael to come up with three things that are improv related that he would like to put into Room 101, just like the TV show. And he's going to bring those things to me one at a time, and we're going to have a discussion about them. And I don't know ahead of time what they are, so I'm going to be doing my best to argue for the thing that Michael is against, and we'll see if Michael can ultimately persuade me that he is right and his gripe should go into the Improv Room 101. So,
well, I should hope so.
So let's just jump straight into it. And please tell us, what is the first thing you'd like to put into the Improv Room 101 and why?
Well, the first thing I would like to put into Room 101, and I hope it with all my heart it goes into Room 101, is the endowment of animals during the scene. Now, I've nothing against playing animals in a scene. Some of it can be, to some people, absolutely hilarious. But I'm 64 years old. I'm not very agile. And what happened to me in one session, I won't say where it was or what workshop it was, but I was endowed with an overexcited kangaroo. Now, that was pretty hard for me. And one of the things I like to do in improv is not back away from anything. You know, I could have said, oh, listen, that's a bit energetic for me. But I like to commit to anything that I'm given. And I'm hoping that if it goes into Room 101, then I won't be given it anymore. Now, I don't mind playing some animals I can do. I can walk around the stage with my legs wide open and my arms swinging, going, look at me, everybody. I'm a bear. How hilarious. And I can do that. And I can do a sloth. That would be okay. But it would be good if being endowed with an animal could go into Room 101.
Okay. So I have to look on the flip side of this, and I have to think about that. And effectively, if you want to get rid of animal endowments, you effectively want to get rid of yes anding.
Well, not really, because instead of endowing, they could say, okay, we'd like you to be an animal. What animal would you like to be? And that would be fine. That would be a big yes and in that situation. You know, I mean, to be honest, I don't see the fun in doing animals. Lots of people do, and you do them great. And when I watch them, they make me laugh. But I don't find them. Meerkat, you know, at least put meerkats into Room 101. Everybody, when they do an animal, when they choose an animal to do, they'll do a meerkat, thinking it's the most cutest, loveliest little talking meerkat ever in the world. And I've Googled it. I've taken time to Google it. And meerkats carry more disease than rats do. Oh. That's a fact. So playing a meerkat in improv puts the audience in danger, I think, of disease, and should go into room 101.
Now, we spend a lot of time improvising online, and I can sympathize with being an animal online could be quite hard because it involves you being very physical. And just from my own personal experience, the setup that I have when I'm doing improv online, it doesn't really lend itself to me having room to get up to be an animal. So I'll accept it from there. But in terms of being in a physical space where you can move around, I think I'm going to need a little bit more convincing as to why it should go in room 101.
Well, I think there should be an improv arc. You know, like Noah had an arc. Let's have an improv arc, fill it full of improvised animals, and let it sail gently and lovingly into room 101. I'd even be prepared to row it, even though that's a physical activity.
So are we just getting completely rid of animals existing in any way, shape, or form in improv? Or are we just getting to a point where people will only endow themselves as animals?
I'm being kind. To be kind, I would say let's just get rid of people being endowed with animals. I don't like playing animals, I'll be honest, and especially energetic ones. But I don't want to disrespect people that play them and do them really well, and they do. And as I said, they do make me laugh. They're very entertaining. If I was the king of the world, would I press the big red button that send improv animals into room 101? Oh, I think. Why don't we compromise and say we'll put all of the online animals, improv animal, into room 101.
That's an interesting.
And let the physical world ones survive.
I will also just put in there, some of the people that we do improv with are very clever, and they know animals that I've never heard of. And I have been endowed with animals that I've never heard of in the past.
Yes, me too. That's another thing. Good point.
And there is a plus side to that situation when you are online, because you can't be seen having a sneaky Google to find out what this animal is and what its characteristics are. Which is a lot more obvious.
What is a Zambonga?
It's a lot more obvious in person if you just whip your phone out on the stage. Is it? I'm just going to have a sly little Google to find out what that actually is.
Yeah. Well, that kind of brings me to another thing, which isn't on my list, is turning down audience suggestions. Because if somebody gives me an animal that I've never heard of, for example, like a Zambonga, I will just, whatever I'm given from the audience, I'll do, even if it's one that sounds inappropriate, like kill the babies or kill the babies, then it doesn't have to be about babies dying. I can twist it and turn it into something positive and acceptable. I don't know how I'd do it with kill the babies. But I would, I'd have a go.
I think. But just talking about audience suggestions there, like actually getting the suggestions from an audience, that is an art form in itself, because you don't want to just take the first thing that's said, because often the first thing that's said is said every time, and you want to give the players an opportunity to play with things that they haven't had before. So you need to keep asking, but you have to ask in a certain way. And then sometimes you hear things and you think, I know that they've done that before, or I know that that's kind of inappropriate and I don't really want to acknowledge it. So there's just clever ways of sort of skirting around what the audience say until you get a suggestion that you think, oh yeah, actually I think that is good for the players. So yeah, just, you don't just accept anything that's said.
Oh no, that's if there's multiple suggestions. And one gig I was at, and you were at too, somebody was given the suggestion of Oscar Wilde, and he put on a big sour face. Oh, I don't know anything about Oscar Wilde. Can I have a different one? And it took a bit of time to get a second suggestion from the audience, who were quite quite quiet. But you can just be, you could be Oscar the dog. That's Wilde. That's the point I'm making. If I know nothing about Oscar Wilde, I can just interpret it as Oscar the dog. Well, it wouldn't be a dog, that's an animal. But Oscar, that's Wilde. It wouldn't have to be Oscar Wilde, the author. So you can, if you have multiple suggestions, then you find you write, you can wait until you hear one that you think would be a good one.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot as well. I hear a lot, like, for example, someone will make like a Star Wars reference and people will be like, oh, I don't know Star Wars. I can't do that. But ultimately, it is whatever you make it in improv, as you just said.
That's it, absolutely. Yeah. You can twist it to whatever you want.
Even if you don't know Star Wars, most people will have heard of Darth Vader. Or that they know there's like big glowing swords that go zzz, zzz,
yeah.
Even if you don't know anything about it. Like, I know nothing about Harry Potter, really. But Harry Potter gets brought up a lot. I don't know Harry Potter, but I know that there are certain character names because they're just in, that's just sort of so well known. I know that there's a game called Quidditch. I couldn't tell you anything about it. I know that there's lots of British actors and actresses that are really famous that I do know of, that I know are in Harry Potter, but I don't really know who they are or if they're big characters. But there's enough to go off, I think. But even if you know absolutely nothing, that's where the fun is as well. Just,
yeah,
my interpretation of this is this, and you have to accept it because I said it is.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know nothing about that either, to be honest. Harry Potter. I know a little bit about Star Wars. I know Obi-Wan Kenobi, R2-D2, and there's another robot, a golden one. That's, yeah, I don't know much about. But as you say, you just interpret it the way you want it.
The golden robot is C-3PO, played by Anthony Daniels.
And, that's it.
I recently met him with Seki, and he was lovely, and he gave Seki a free copy of his book.
Oh, that's right. I saw that on Facebook, yeah. And also, the Darth Vader was actually played physically by the Green Cross Codeman.
Yeah, I met him as well.
Oh, brilliant.
And LCI alumni, Helen Jones, had a story about him. And I can't remember what it was. I think he was... Was she friends with his daughter or something like that? And she ended up in a car with him. I can't remember. She told me on this podcast, I think, I should go back and listen to an earlier episode. But anyway, we need to get back to animal empowerment.
Well, animals, yeah.
Am I going to put it into room 101? I'm not going to put it in room 101. And here's why. Here's why. I agree with you that I personally don't enjoy doing it, but I can't deny how much I enjoy watching other people do it. There are, like, for example, some of the oikers are so good with physical stuff, like Dave Hodgson, for example, as a physical improviser, if you give him an animal of any kind, he's going to turn it into sort of gold dust. And I don't want to deprive people of the joy of seeing it, even if it isn't overly fun to do.
Actually, in that show that we did at the Art Bar a while ago now, I joined you just for one night, that one. Sandra and David were playing animals, and it was going down brilliantly. I was on the back line with Emma. And Emma, who knows I don't like doing animals, she turned to me with a look as if to say, well, they're doing it okay, aren't they, Michael? So I'll accept that for those reasons, especially that you gave, because people do it, and I'm entertained by them when they do it, to be honest. I just don't like doing it myself. So it was a self-centered and selfish Room 101 application that I thought I'd get away with.
Okay, so I'm sorry that that one didn't make it in, but what is your next suggestion for something that you want to put into room 101?
Well, number two, Ian, is what I call, or what is known as in improv, bulldozing. When an improviser will have a great idea of what the scene they're about to do should be, and they will come on and they will bull, they won't give you a chance to speak, and they will bulldoze them through all the points, who we are, where we are, what we're doing, before you get a chance to utter anything. I was in a workshop, won't say which one, and this improviser came on and said, "Oh, so you finally come to visit me in prison, have you, Uncle Tom? I hope you brought that potion for me to put the guards to sleep, so when we get out, we can go on that trip we've planned to find the money that we hid from the robbery that we did." And it just went on, and then even after that, after laying everything down, I still couldn't get a word in
Wow.
sideways. And it's rare, to be honest. It's fairly rare in my experience, but it does exist that people, through fear, through lack of experience, through whatever, will plan ahead what they're going to do when they step into the area, onto the stage, into the scene. And I think that's referred to as bulldozing.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I encounter this with children a lot. Like I've had examples where I've been running improv sessions with 8, 9, 10 year olds. I do it after school, and games like Park Bench, for example. They'll put their hand. Oh, can I go next? I've got a really good idea, and I'll say, no. For the very fact that you just told me you have a good idea, because I don't want you to go there with any preconceived ideas. But children are just too honest about it. But I know it happens with adults as well. And if I'm honest, when I first got into improv, it happened with me. I remember, oh no, I'm up soon, and I'm gonna have to get in there and have something really clever and witty to say or do. So I would overthink it. I certainly don't do that now, but
No.
you're right. It is often a trait of newer improvisers, and
I think we've all done that at the beginning. I remember thinking, "Oh, I've got this funny joke or this line. I wonder where I can get. Let's see where I can fit this line in this scene I'm about to do." And I think that's natural but some people plan the whole scene out and just won't let you speak at all. And they're the real bulldozers. I think it's rare in my experience in improv, but it is there most definitely.
I think
It's probably ego as well.
the people that do bulldoze, I think sometimes there's an element of they're not perhaps comfortable reacting to things happening in the moment. So in their head, they have to create this clear picture of what's going on. A bit like being an actor, knowing I'm an actor, I'm going into a scene. I need to know exactly what's going on so I can fully commit to the actor.
What my motivation is, what my character is, you'll know all that. But Jay Suku, he said once that when it happens to him and somebody bulldozes, he'll just back off and go quiet and let them get on with it, which is a good idea, a good way of dealing with it.
Because one of the joys of improv is not knowing what's coming next and bouncing off each other. And there's been many times where I know I've been in a scene and I haven't pre-planned it, but because of what's happening, my brain starts to think, oh, this is where that's going. This is what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
But then it
And
gets.
also,
Yeah, go on.
sorry, also, it takes a lot of the pressure away from you. Because if you feel that you have to get all these things out and set the scene and write the script in a way, then that's pressure. And I, when I stopped doing that, when I stopped having that little funny line to go on with, I felt a lot of pressure disappear because I could just step on. And sometimes I'll step on. Emma Baird from Liverpool Comedy Improv, she described me as a mild yes and. So I will step on and I will let the scene partner start, let them say the first line. And that's a lot of pressure because then all you've got to do is react. And we do that all day, every day in our lives, you know.
Yeah.
We react to everything we come across, even the news on the television when we first get out of bed, you know. So that's an easy thing to do. And it takes away a bit of the pressure. And I just wish the winds, bulldozers didn't exist and could go into room 101.
Now, I know with improv scenes, they're not, you don't set out to be funny. But the way my brain works is generally, my brain is always seeking like a punchline. It's just, it's how I live life. It's not like I go into improv thinking, oh, I'm going to be funny. But that's in life. My brain is always like, oh, where's the pun? Where's the wordplay? What's the funny thing? And when a bulldozer comes in, it can really confuse my brain because the scene's been going a certain way where my brain might say, aha, I know where we're building to. And then all of a sudden it gets derailed. And then my brain goes, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It was a punchline building there and now we're not going there. And I get a bit sort of discombobulated in the scene. So
yeah,
you've won me round on this one.
Oh, excellent. I saw a great, talking about puns, I saw a great interview with Milton Jones. It was in a podcast. It was a religious podcast, but he talked about his comedy and what he said he does. He'll get a word and he'll write it down and he will stare at it for maybe half an hour and his mind will work on that word or phrase and work backwards to get the pun joke. It's really good. And also he said that was really good was people, when I've been doing stand-up, and people are saying, oh, can we come and see it? Can we come and see it? And I say, it isn't ready yet. It's not like an improvised performance or an improvised play. It's work in progress. It's and anyway, he said that doing stand-up learning is like learning a musical instrument for the first time with an audience.
Yeah.
That really makes sense. So I would wait until I'd learned to play properly the instrument before I invited friends along and family and things.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. The thing about stand-up that I always think weird is, and I know we've discussed this before, even on the podcast, it's just, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I think is funny. This is what I think will get a laugh. And then you have to say the same thing everywhere you go. And it's not going to go down as well with every audience, but you have to stick to the material because that's what your set is. And it's kind of a bit weird. But when you're a singer and you've got your set list, it's fine. And you can live off that set list for years. But with comedy, people don't want the same jokes all the time. It might work. They might come and see you once, twice, three times, but then they're like, oh, it's just the same old material. Whereas a musician, gets away with it.
I mean, even with even musicians and bands have got to learn some new songs during the act. But you've got to find new material as a stand-up. But I think it might be the improv that's done that to us, you know, because when I did it, I did three in a week, and the same material, and I felt like a cheat. I felt like a cheat. Because I was doing, in improv, we do a scene and then it's gone. You know, it's gone forever. It's into the ether. We'll never see it again. You know, we'll never reenact it. If we tried, we wouldn't get it the same. But here I am with the same intonation, the same jokes. And I just felt like a cheat, like I was cheating, like somebody was standing up and said, you said this 2 nights ago in the Dog and Duck. And now you're saying this, it's only happened now, you know. So you do. And you have got to change your stuff. But when you're the nobody doing rundown pubs and comedy clubs, you can get away with the same math for quite a while because there are so many.
Yeah.
But when you get well known and people come to see you in particular, you know, they'll come from outside that area. They might have seen you a month earlier and will want something a little bit different, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think also when it's improv and you make a joke or a quip or something like that, without even knowing it, you're probably making the same joke like all the time without even realizing, because we don't remember what we've said, but
no.
There's only so many places your brain can take you with set suggestions, and that's our pathway. So yeah. I don't know if it's let's say something to do with an egg. Well, there's only so many sort of egg-based jokes that you can make, and you'll make them, and you won't even realize that the next time it's said, oh yeah, I said that in my last show or two shows ago.
Yeah,
but it's different to stand up, and it's more acceptable because
exactly. In stand up, you will plan it. And you'll plan it carefully and deliberately, you know, in the hope it'll work again.
So I don't know how we got that far off topic.
Oh, yeah. So bulldozing into room 101. Do you have a special sound effect?
Do you know, I might try and find a sound effect and put it in. Who knows?
Hey.
Bulldozing is going into room 101. Goodbye, bulldozing. Hey. Get in there.
Brilliant.
And that takes us to your third thing for room 101. What is it?
Number three is could have, should have, oh, I wish I did. And that's when you finish a show or a drop-in session or a workshop and you're on your way home and you're thinking, if only in that scene when he came on with the banana and wearing a pink hat, if only I would have said X, Y, Z, that would have made it, that would have been brilliant. Why? Oh, I'm so stupid. I'm an idiot. I think all that kind of shenanigans needs to go into room 101.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda are the last words of a fool.
I remember when I first started improv and I would drive home afterwards, and my drive would be one of two things. Either really made up because I found a punchline in the scene and everybody laughed and it was a great night, or I'd be driving home going, oh, I didn't find the punchline. Oh, that was no good tonight. I wasn't any good. And it come to a head where I would always enjoy everybody else. So there was no jealousy or spite there. I would be disappointed with myself. And how I cured it is one night, it happened 3 nights on the trot, or 3 weeks at drop-in, where my contribution wasn't, you know, I thought at the time was no good. And I thought, oh, this is terrible. And then I actually said to myself, what is it you want, Michael? What do you want? Do you want to say something in a scene that's really good, that makes everybody laugh? So what? What happens then? Do we get a throne and the other improvisers lift you on this throne and carry you through the streets of Liverpool with all tickets coming out of windows like when the Apollo landed on the moon and everybody, Michael, did the good thing in the scene. Michael, did a good thing. Is that what you want, Michael? And that cured me of it. That kind of made me quince inside and just forget forget about that. Forget about whether I've done anything that was good or anything bad, and think of the whole night where other people would have been brilliant on the occasion that I wasn't.
Yeah, hindsight is a wonderful thing. If we all lived in hindsight, then we'd all be the best at everything, surely.
Yeah, yeah. And if we did go back, and then everybody back at, sorry, can you all come back to the workshop? I found something to say in that scene now. Then it wouldn't be improv anyway. You know, you might as well be a playwright, go and have your idea and write a play.
So looking on the flip side, the thing with hindsight and that, oh, I should have said this and I could have done that, is without realizing it, we are evaluating our performance and therefore educating ourselves, because we can't redo the thing that we didn't do and relive that moment, but perhaps the next time something similar comes up, it's in the back of our mind and we've got more confidence to step forward and do the thing to the point where we're not going to leave that session and say, oh, I wish I'd have done this, or I wish I'd have said that.
Yeah, it's a good point. But I think sometimes people punish themselves, and that's what I'd like to go into Room 101, punishing yourself with, oh, I should have done this, and if only, you know, if only I'd have said that, you know, when he come on screaming about the boat, this sinking, what an idiot. I think we can take it too far and punish ourselves sometimes with that. I think I should go into Room 101 with animals. No, not with animals, sorry.
People punishing themselves can take away from the enjoyment, because if they're focusing on the negative, they're not sitting back and thinking, oh, I really enjoyed that scene I did with so-and-so because this happened. I can't believe I actually made a pun this evening and people laughed at it. So if people, I think effectively it's the negativity. We don't want people coming away from an improv session in a negative mindset, do we?
No, improv is supposed to provide the absolute opposite of that, I think. We should come away happy, which I do now, whatever.
So, shoulda, woulda, coulda, beating yourself up for the things that you didn't say and didn't do, is that going to go into Room 101 improv style? If I had a drum roll sound effect, I'd put it in. Yes, I'm going to put it in Room 101. Going to get rid of all of that negativity. It's going to be in there with the bulldozers, just bulldozing their way through all the positivity into negativity land.
We've made the world better tonight.
We have. And we've saved animals from extinction.
Meerkats. We saved meerkats.
Well, thank you very much. It was really fun having that chat about what should be sent away into Improv Room 101 and what shouldn't. So thank you very much. Some really...
I've really enjoyed it. Thank you, Ian.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. And because I know that this is the very next episode going out, we're currently recording this a mere few days away from this show dropping. Let's just have a very quick chat, reminding people of a little something that we've got coming up with the Oikers.
Yes, we have. In April, it's the Liverpool International Festival, or LIFF, again. And the Oikers will be appearing on the 23rd?
I should have prepared this. I thought it was the 20th. It could be. It is a Saturday.
Is it the 23rd on Saturday?
I'm going to look right now. Let me see.
It is the 20th of April at 1:30 p.m. It's a Saturday. And we'll be performing Fruit Smoothie with the Oikers. Lots of really fun improv games, short form. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and what's really cool is we're the only short form group performing for the entire festival, and we get a 45-minute set, which is pretty cool for short form. So we're hoping to shine a really positive light on short form and just give people a good time. One of my favorite things about anything we do with the Oikers is we have a good time doing it. And I think if people are having a good time doing it, then people are going to have a good time watching people doing it.
It's a good start to making people enjoy it if you enjoy it yourself. And we do. We love it, don't we?
Yeah.
I really look forward to the shows that we do and the energy that we create. It's fantastic. And yeah. 40 minutes or 45 minutes is going to be fantastic, you know. We get lots of games in, you know, because sometimes we have a short show, don't we? And we have to get sort of quick short-form games in. But there are some which are a little bit longer, which we'll be able to do now, which will be absolutely joyous.
Yeah.
And that's on, just to confirm, the 20th. Which is a Saturday, 1:30 p.m. Oh, also, it is at the Unity Theatre, which is just around the corner from that big place. What's it called?
The Cathedral? Oh.
The big entertainment place. The Philharmonic Hall.
Philharmonic, yeah.
Just around the corner from the Philharmonic Hall.
I think what's also cool...
And tickets are still available. You can still get a ticket.
I think what's cool, we've never really discussed this, but it just came to me. When we do perform live as the Oikers, there's an extra special energy, and it's because we mostly practice online. We get together online. So it is a genuine joy when we're all together in the same physical space. So because they're sort of few and far between, it is always a really special buzz.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah, we kind of come alive. Oh, hello. Nice to see you in real life.
Yeah.
Let's do a show. that will be a big part of it, actually. Good point.
Well, there we go. That is everyone listening sold on coming to that show. So, well, thank you very much, Michael. It's been a pleasure, and I really enjoyed your suggestions for Room 101. I'm sorry they didn't all make it in, but two of the three did, so that's
great. Hey, thank you, Ian. Really enjoyed it. Thanks, mate.
Awesome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
If you are interested in getting into improv or are already involved in improv and want to try out a different improv scene, then all the information you need can be found at www.liverpoolcomedyimprov.co.uk. You can also check us out on Facebook by searching for Liverpool Comedy Improv, and on X and Instagram we are at Live Comedy Improv. This show has its own Facebook page as well, so just go to Facebook and search for Liverpool Comedy Improvcast and you'll find all things you need for the show there. If you're a member of the LCI community and you'd like to be a guest on the show, then please get in touch with me or with Emma Bird and we'll make arrangements as soon as possible. And perhaps you are someone that's been on the show before and you'd like to come back. Think of some things that you'd like to put into Improv Room 101 and I'll get you on the show. We'll make that happen. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, then as always I ask that you go there, give us 5 stars, leave us a nice positive review, because it's little things like that that help to boost the show and really get our name out there. If you want to follow me on social media, you can find me pretty much everywhere. That is Facebook, Instagram, X, LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok. Just search for at Ian Luke Jones, IAIN Luke Jones, and you'll find me everywhere there. My LinkedIn and my X accounts are really focused on me as a voice actor, and the other things are more focused on me personally. So that's how you can connect with me, and please do. I love to connect with people on the various social medias and see what everyone is getting up to with their lives. So there we go. Thanks so much to Michael. I really enjoyed that. I didn't know how this was going to work out. It was something I thought of a while back and decided to finally give it a go. And I'm really pleased with it. So thanks, Michael. And anyone else that wants to come on and give that a go, just get in touch, like I said. Now, we're about to finish, but before I go, here are some words that are wise, wise, wise. Always remember, whatever the situation, to treat life like improv, and yes, and.